I know all about the mistakes you say in Kings and the numbers and all this stuff. I know all of that stuff. You know what it is? It'll say this many died in this one place, and it'll give you another number. Why? Because a few days later, more died.
Amen.
So they get in here, and what happens is, I'm talking about the armor of God today. We're talking about some things in the Bible. And like I said, I don't know how far I get on this thing. I've got so much stuff. I got so many things in my Bible now, I don't even know where my message is this morning. But what I'm saying, we're living in a generation where the Word of God has always been questioned, but never as much as it is now. And you're going to have a bulldog grip on the truth. Why? Because people are trying to question your faith. You know what I hear every time I hear somebody say, well, you know, the Bible should say it. I hear, yea, hath God said. That's the work of the devil. The first thing the devil did was he questioned God's word, and he said, yea, hath God said. And people don't even know they were doing the work of the devil because they hadn't read the Bible. You get over there in the temptations in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, and you say, well, how does the devil operate and how does the devil work? This is how he works. He quotes the verses back to the Lord, but if you go back and look at the verses, he changed the letters, he changed the meaning, he changed it all up. Like Psalm 91, whenever the devil quotes Psalm 91, he leaves things out. When he quotes the other verse, he adds things to it. You know what he does? He leaves stuff out. You know what verse was what part of the verse was left out over in Genesis? The Lord said, all the other trees you may freely eat. Whenever the devil quotes it back, he leaves out the word, leaves out freely. You know what? He leaves out the important. He gives you just enough of what you need so you'll bite the lie, and he'll leave parts out and make you question things. And you know what happened? If you don't believe that Bible, every bit of it, how do I know the parts that I did believe about my salvation are true?
That's right.
You're in a spiritual warfare. Why? Because you've got people, and for lack of a better word, not all of them are like that. Look, there are good people who are teaching today, but you know what happens? The Bible says they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And you know what the job a lot of those teachers do is question your faith in that book.
That's right.
There have been people all down through the generations trying to prove errors in that Bible. You can't prove it in a court of law.
That's right.
You can get up there and get a platform. See anybody now and get a YouTube page, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok or whatever, and then get on here and say, well, you know, in the Greek it says so and so, in the Hebrew it really means. You don't know Greek and Hebrew.
That's right.
We talked about this the other night. All these people that question this stuff, they don't even know that language. And they're going to tell me that, well, you know, in the Greek, well, okay, read me some Greek then. What I'm telling you is you've got a God that preserved that book for you in that language. That Bible, and that's like all these other ones. Look, Brother Chase ain't mad at nobody. That's like I can show you 100 contradictions in that NIV Bible. Why? It's got a copyright on it.
That's right. Amen.
They're making money.
Yes,
that's right.
Off the thing. That's like we looked at it earlier in Sunday school. It's a spiritual battle, so people can get mad at, you know, whatever. But what I'm telling you is, you have got to believe the Word of God, and if you don't believe the Word of God, you'll start questioning things, and before long, you're doubting your salvation.
That's right.
You know what a preacher's job is to do is not get up here and say, well, it should say so-and-so, and it might mean this right here. That's not the preacher's job. The preacher's job is get up here and tell you the Bible says, and thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? Nobody has an authority nowadays. A final authority is needed in everybody's life. Otherwise, I could just... Well, what do you think it means? And what do you think it means? And what do you say it means over here? Look, and I'm just going to say this morning too. We're talking about the battle. There's a battle out there, and I've talked to some people that earlier this week who've been lied to, and they question their faith. And look, if somebody come in here with a different version Bible, you know what we do? We don't kick them and talk bad about them, nothing like that. You help people. We're here to help people. Y'all, that's like this morning. You can have whatever you want to. That's none of my business. If you want to read a NIV, read one. You read a Holman, read one. That's your business. That's between you and God. But I'm just here to tell you that there is a Bible in your language, in the English language, that you can trust every single word of it. Why? We're going to be talking about the whole armor of God. There's a spiritual battle out there, and it's a battle over wonderful words of life. We just sang. And if you start questioning things, before long, you'll start questioning your salvation and where your standing is with God and everything else. And before long, you don't know anything that's coming or going. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. So what am I saying this morning? One thing I'm saying is you better start off believing what the book says.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, you got an issue.
Amen. That's right.
Now, that's what I'm telling you. I've heard preachers for years and years, they've corrected that book, and I just get sick and tired of it. Why? Because I sit there and go, well, could I really understand what God's saying to me today? You ever been sitting there and thinking that? Well, there's got to be a final authority somewhere. People say, well, I don't like them thees and the thous and the King James. It's biblical language.
That's right. Amen.
David understood Hebrew perfectly in his day. You know what? He didn't say, I need to learn this. God, give me understanding on the things I don't know that's already in a book I can read. People talking about the original. None of y'all have ever seen the originals. Neither has your grandmother. Neither has her grandmother. They've never seen the originals. People say, you think that Bible's better than the originals. Of course I do. Why? Well, I don't have them. They've never been collected in a book. You have a book that you can trust. This stuff. That stuff intimidated me. Now that scholarship, that stuff don't bother me a bit now. Why? Because I've read enough to know. God said He would preserve His book in a language you can understand. If you don't like that, that's between you and God. So you know what? You got a spiritual warfare. And the thing is, it started off in the garden over what God said.
Amen.
And if you don't get that first and foremost, and if you don't believe what God said to you, you're going to start doubting things in your life.
Amen.
And it's going to pour over in every other aspect. So before we even get started, I want you to see some things here that has to do with common ordinary life. Before we get to the armor of God, we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And you've heard people say, you got to do all this stuff to get filled with the Spirit of God. You know how to get filled with the Spirit of God? Do what God says. It's no miraculous, weird thing. He's just saying, I want you to obey what I say in my book. And don't question it. The very idea.
Amen.
It says be filled with the Spirit. I wonder what that means in the Greek. It means be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
I wonder what the Hebrew word and the trilateral. Look, just read what it says.
Amen.
And believe what it says.
That's exactly right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. This stuff is so simple, you'll stumble over it. And you know what? The devil would love you to stumble over the simplicity that's in the Word of God.
Right.
Now, you get in this thing and he tells you to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. But you can't be filled with the Spirit if you don't do what it had been saying. He says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. People say, I wonder if I'm being filled with the Spirit of God. Well, you're not going to be controlled by the Spirit of God if you're walking like everybody else is walking this whole crazy evil world.
Amen.
He didn't say you weren't saved. Salvation is in a person. It's in you are saved when you trust the gospel.
That's right.
But after that, you can lose your mind and still be just as saved as you can be. You got to understand that thing. Why? He says, walk as children of light. You know what that'll do? That was like a glove. I've showed y'all before. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I could have a glove on my hand. I could close my hand and pull that glove down over my hand. And couldn't do anything with that glove. But I could open my hand up and put my fingers inside that glove and work and do things with that glove. Whenever you trust Jesus Christ, you've got all the Spirit that you ever are going to get. He just needs more of you.
That's right.
Amen.
See, the thing is, once you get saved, you're saved. But He gives you a free will.
Yes, He does.
And you have to, in your mind, say, I'm going to take this free will and serve God with it. And part of that being filled and being controlled by God is doing simple things in daily life. After He says, be filled with the Spirit of God, He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You think, well, I wonder if I got filled with the Spirit of God, what I do, and some of these church services do some of the craziest stuff you've ever heard in your life. That's not being filled with the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Whenever you yield to the Lord, has it changed the way you speak?
That's right.
See, the thing is, people say, I wonder if I'm filled with God. You out here talking about all this crazy stuff you talk about. You're not filled with God. All people want to do now, they want to get on TikTok and Instagram and all this stuff and talk about conspiracy theories today, stuff that can't be proven. That's what they want to do.
Absolutely.
I've never seen some of the crazy stuff like I've heard in this past year. And they don't know come here from Sikkim, just like Jerry Clower used to say.
Amen.
You can't prove that stuff. Okay, you know what I can prove? I can prove what the Bible says is so. And I can't prove all that, but you know what I can do? I can change the way I speak and I can try to be an encouragement to other people around me. I can change that. Okay, it says husbands and wives be submitted to one another. You know what I can do? I can try to be a better husband to my wife. and try to be a better friend to y'all. Those are things that God can operate in your daily life, and that'll control, that'll actually help the world instead of going off on a tangent on things you don't understand.
Yeah, that's right, bro.
Okay, you get over here and he tells you about this armor of God, and we've been talking about, you know, the family last week, and if you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, children can obey their parents. That's part of their reward. What if a child gets saved and he dies? How is he going to have reward in heaven? By what he is, was he obeying his parents? And it says directly to children. You know what that means? Children can read the Bible too, and they don't have to understand every single bit of it. You don't understand all that Bible too. You'll be studying from now to the day you die.
Right. Yeah.
Children can read the Bible. You know what they can say? Lord, give me understanding.
That's right.
And God will show them along the way. Well, that Bible is written so that you'll have a relationship with the Lord and you'll keep gaining more understanding as you go along the way. He gets down here and verse number 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Why does it say masters according to the flesh? Because they're not over your soul.
That's right.
Okay, it says, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now you get these people that say, well, the Bible says slavery. The only mention of slaves in the Bible has to do with Revelation 13. Talks about in the tribulation period, they're going to be slaves there. And the Jews were called slaves when they were slaves of their sin. But you know what? In the Bible, just like now, they had servants who either in time of war, they would serve those people who took over that nation, or in Exodus chapter number 21, you'll see regulations on servants. And you know what it talks about over there? If they had a debt with somebody, they could work off that debt.
That's right.
The very idea, you make the Bible make out like that some of this stuff that's went on with slavery, the Bible never gave any kind of leeway to that or anything. How do you know right here in this text? What if they obeyed what this text says back then? You wouldn't have slavery like people thought. Look at the very next verse. It says, with goodwill service as the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. That means you don't whip them. You don't threaten them. Okay, it says, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is their respective persons with him.
That's right.
Now, what if the masters treated their so-called slaves like that? That shows you it wasn't biblical.
That's right.
What they were doing.
That's right.
God never said that was right. Now, what am I saying? The whole armor of God, he's going to tell you about the whole armor of God. Why would he just jump in the whole armor of God after talking about children obeying their parents and servants and masters' relationship? It has to do with your common everyday life.
Yes, it does.
That your spiritual battle is going to be more in your common everyday life than some of these great, crazy things that people do. You know what he's saying? And like I said, don't think Brother Chase is trying to be mean, but I've talked to some of these people that's got employees and stuff like that. Don't be a lazy bum who just sits around and collects a paycheck and you're not doing right for your boss.
That's right.
That means don't be playing games on your cell phone. Servants be obedient to your masters. If you got an employer and he's master over you, you need to be giving him the labor that he has hired you for.
Amen.
Well, we got a generation of people nowadays like the old boy came down. What hours do you want to work? You want to learn all this stuff? Yeah, I'd like to learn. Okay. I can't get in about 10 o'clock. Okay, well, 10 o'clock. Well, what time you need to get off work? I'd like to get off around 4:30. Me and mama like to do so-and-so. Okay. Well, how much you looking to make? Well, at least $25 an hour. $25. I want that job. I'd like to have that job. Well, you got a generation of lazy people who don't want to do anything. They want the boss to hand you all of their money. No, without not even realizing the overhead and all the insurance and all this other stuff goes along with it. What am I saying? In your practical everyday life, if you're going to have the whole armor of God, not just one or two pieces of thing, you're going to have to every day get up and say, okay, I've got some things that's going to have to control my speech, speaking to yourselves. And if I'm going to be full of the Lord and have on His armor, I'm going to have to make sure that I yield to the Lord in the way I talk.
That's right.
And then I'm going to have to yield to the Lord the way I'm submitted to my spouse and other people around there. Why? You're not the boss of everything. You're not right on everything. This is stuff that is practical living. A lot of times you get around these people and they're right on, they think they're right on everything and they're not. Just because, look, you're not an expert just because you watched a YouTube video on it.
Amen.
Yeah, some of these people, they got a profession. They come to you and here you are, you're a professional in what you do. Well, I watched some YouTube videos on that and I know how to do it. Well, why'd you come to me? Why didn't you do it yourself?
That's right.
You know, come to the carpenter and you tell the carpenter how to build a house.
That's right.
Amen. You know. No, you don't do that. Come to call Brother Mike, but you get there. Well, I know how to do that. Well, won't you do it then? Y'all, that's common. God is speaking to you where you live. This whole armor of God, I've been told, you know, I've watched sermons, you know, years ago, and sometimes I like to listen, and sometimes I like to watch a man preach that's just on fire for the Lord. I think that's a blessing. You get these, there's all kind of sermons out there on the whole armor of God, and they say, man, you get down in the morning, and you pray on that piece, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, it'd be loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and all this type of stuff. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. Only problem is it ain't in the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. God don't tell you to pray all that stuff on.
That's right.
He don't say, you know what, he's, watch this.
That's right.
Y'all think Brother Chase just preaching whatever I want to, aren't you? look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. We went over this, but you need to see this thing. And I know I've done stripped two or three gears, but I got to show you this thing. Ephesians 4 verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye, I'm going to preach like old style, put off concerning the former conversation. I'm just trying to get you to see this thing. It says, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know what that Bible tells you? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God truly knows your heart. You get these people and they want to psychoanalyze everybody. I know what you're thinking on that deal. I know what you're about to say. You don't know what I'm thinking, what I'm about to say. I may be saying something. I really wanted to say something else. I may be thinking something and said something. Had I been saying what I was thinking, you probably would have been mad at it. Deceitful. You got to put that off and be sincere.
That's right.
Okay, the old man is a liar. All men are liars. Okay, he says this right here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the battle is in the mind. I'm looking at y'all's face. I have no idea what's going on behind those minds. Some of y'all thinking some of the most crazy things in your mind. There's no telling. Well, you know what? Oftentimes you get tired in your mind if you don't renew it. Just like that cell phone right there. If you don't charge that thing up, before long it'll just go dead on you.
That's right.
Some people just in autopilot. Why? Because you've been so long, you hadn't been out of fellowship with the Lord, and you hadn't been talking to the Lord, you hadn't been praying, you hadn't been reading your Bible. Your mind is just on autopilot, and every single thing, you may not say it, every little thing goes on, you're just so mad, you're about ready to blow up. You just hadn't done it yet because you know it'd probably cause some trouble, you know. You know what you better do? You better get renewed in your mind.
That's right.
Why? You're getting frustrated. And you know what? You know what's wrong with this world? This world's so frustrated, and you wonder why people do some of this crazy stuff. They're frustrated, and they have to have an outlet.
Yes.
You know what? You know what? You can just go to the Lord, and the Lord will help renew your mind and the spirit of your mind. You know what He tells you? Watch this. And that you put on, it's got to be a conscious thing. The Lord, if you don't get this thing, God's not going to make you be good. God is not going to make you read your Bible. You say, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Very rarely do I feel like reading my Bible. How many you think I feel like in the morning just pop out of bed? All right. And the Bible gets on there. You better put off the old man. And my old man, and the flesh goes, oh, here we go again. Negative. You know what? You got to have a negative before you can have a positive. The negative and the positive charge work together. It says, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. Watch this. It's a little word here. And true holiness. If so many people's just false, so many people's fake, so many people sit there and you don't believe a word of that Bible's talking to you and you don't believe a word of it. Why? You're not true about it. You're just doing things just to please somebody else. You know what? A lot of people come to church just because somebody invited them. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people do not care what God has to say. And you know what? This little preacher, all I'm doing is just trying to be a mouthpiece and telling you what the Bible says. But some people, you can tell them what the Bible says all day long, and they're not going to believe it. Well, because that Bible says true holiness. And even Christians, you can be saved, you've trusted the gospel, and you know God is your Lord and Savior. And you know what happens? God will tell you something in that Bible, and you know you're supposed to be being faithful to it. And you know what you do? False. Put on the old man, just leave him on instead of put on the new man. You know better. Well, you know what? The issue is you still saved. You're not lost. I'm not trying to retread you this morning. If you don't, so if you was really saved, you'd do so and so. I'm not saying that. He's saying you got to make a conscious effort to put on the new man. Why? Because the new man is the whole armor of God. That armor is built in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you don't look, and the thing is, he says the whole armor. Why? Because some people love Christ in one area, and this other area they're just kind of iffy. You know what that Bible tells you? He said in the last days of the church, he says men are going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Didn't say they didn't love God. Said they love pleasures more. So they may love God in one area. Well, I got all my loins girded about with truth. I like truth, you know. Okay, what about the breastplate of righteousness? Have you got some personal righteousness in your daily life that you're walking with the Lord? Well, see, you like the one part, but you don't like the other part.
Right.
Okay, well, you're not protected there then. Why? Your heart's not protected because you're not walking close to the Lord. And guess what happened? You don't have that personal righteousness. And then you done made friends with a bunch of people who don't really believe the Bible, you know. And before long, you're believing like they do. And you're sitting there and you don't believe a word the Bible says. And God can see your heart. And you think, I don't know what you believe. But God does. And God can see your heart and go, you don't believe it, do you? And so you just sit there and
think. That's right.
Yeah, he knows.
Yes, he does.
He knows what you believe and what you don't believe. But we don't. See, that's the issue. We can fool one another.
That's right.
You can't fool God.
That's right.
God knows your heart, and he knows whether you're being true or not. And he's sitting there reading your heart and saying, you know what? I'd like to have a good true fellowship with you. I wish you really would believe what I, you know what it'd do? It protects your heart, and you wouldn't have a lot of these heart issues.
That's exactly right.
Why? Because a lot of that stuff, look. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You're not going to make them better. They're going to make you worse.
That's exactly right.
We think, oh, we do so-and-so, we'll make them better. No, they're going to drag you down.
Yes, they are.
I love holding my little girl over there, but you know what? If I tried to hold her like this right here, but it won't be long, she's going to start dragging me down. No matter how strong you think you are. The trouble is, you think you're strong enough to hold it up, and you're not.
That's exactly right.
You know what you're going to have? The Bible tells you over here, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You can't do it on your own. You know how you get tired doing things on your own? I know I'm jumping around in my sermon, but see, he wants you to have his power. I got a bar at the house, not the house, but at my shop, and we call it a cheater bar. So if I get a bolt down there, sometimes, especially if you're taking something apart from a frame, man, you can put that wrench on there. You cannot get that bolt undone for nothing, man. Especially if you can't get the gun on it or something. Sometimes it's in a bad spot. But well, you know what I can do? I can put that wrench on there. I got this big old cheater bar, and I'll put that bar over that wrench. And you know what I'll do? Oh, little sweet. Look at it. I'll put that bar on that thing. You know what I'll do? I can get at the end of that cheater bar and I can pull that thing down. And with that extra leverage there and that extra torque, I can actually get that bolt undone. But you know what? If you don't use that thing correctly, man, that thing will slip off. You'll bust your knuckles and everything else. You're going to have to, there's going to be some things, some bolts. God's got a bolt for you. You can't undo your own self. You're going to come to a place in your life where you're going to have God. And here's the issue too. I'm not saying don't ask for prayer or anything like that. But y'all, it's your business to stay in fellowship with the Lord. So when that time comes, you know, well, y'all be praying for him. Y'all be praying for him. And be praying over here. And be praying over here. And you're just frantic. And all this time trying to get somebody to pray for you. Why? Because you know what happens? You've already been in that place over there. And you know what happens? Over time, this goes on, that goes on, this thing goes on. And the world is built in such a way. And God's got this thing running in such a way where your sins will catch up with you. And then we blame God. We say, well, God don't answer prayer. God hears your prayer. But it's not up to God. God's not a genie in the bottle just to go fix every little thing that happens. A lot of times we put ourselves in a situation, we make provision for the flesh. Mm-hmm. Let me just show you this thing in this. I know I'm jumping around this morning, but I've just got too many verses on my mind. Let me show you something about this fight, and you have to have God's power. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 13. You know how to stand in the evil day? You're going to have the whole armor of God. Now, I'm showing you some stuff because you know what happens? If you make provision for the flesh, the Bible tells you in Galatians, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. It don't say your soul's going to reap it. Your soul's saved if you trust in Christ. But you know what happens? Things that happen in your life that you did, not God, and then your flesh reaps that, and you get mad at God and say, well, why didn't God answer the prayer? Well, you did that, not God. It don't mean you're going to reap it in heaven or anything, but the flesh is going to reap what it does. And y'all, that's just like I've told y'all before. We blame so many things on God. I can't tell you how many people who've had a flat tire or something. I know four or five off the top of my head. And they say, man, you ain't going to believe this, man. God just been all over me. And, man, it just seemed like nothing could go right. I turned in the parking lot, got a nail in my tire, and God's made my tire flat. God didn't do that to your tire.
That's right.
You were the one that pulled in the parking lot and got the nail in your tire, and then you blamed it on God.
Right.
You know, you say, well, God, my vehicle just broke down, and God's just doing this to me. When was the last time you had that vehicle serviced?
That's right.
Why are you blaming that on God when it's up to you to do this? God puts you here, and He gives you the Bible and gives you common sense, and you're supposed to go by the Bible in your life. And the Bible says, be not slothful in business. So here you are being slothful in your business, and when the bad thing happens, you pray God. And then all of a sudden, y'all pray for me, and all this stuff happens. It's not up to God to fix that problem. The Bible says you can pray, and the Bible says God shall provide all your needs, but not your greeds. A lot of this stuff is just our greeds. We want God just to jump up and do this, that, and other thing. And look, God, that's not His business to always just fix your problem. I'm trying to show you this thing. Why? Because you'll get to a place, you'll make provision for your flesh, and you know what happened? You hadn't put on the new man, and the new man is supposed to understand these things. Why?
Yeah.
Just common things happen. Why? We're living in a sin-cursed earth. Look, bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Why? That's just living on this earth. That's not God's fault. That's just the way it happens. Well, the Bible says this, that, and other. And the Bible says if you do this, you'll be blessed. That's in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, guess what? You do good, and guess what? Probably bad things will happen to you. The Apostle Paul done good things, you know what he? And he was blasted for it.
That's right.
Different program. In the Old Testament, he said, if you do this, that, and all these blessings, you follow these commandments, you'll be blessed in the land. That's the Old Testament Israel. That's not your program.
That's right.
So what do you got to do? In Romans chapter 13, look at verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. There's a good revival message right there. Stop sleeping on God. This world's just asleep at the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. He's not going to take the wheel.
That's right.
It's up to you to drive.
That's right.
Lazy rascal. You need to drive. Wake up and drive your car. So in daily life, I'm showing you this thing. It's time to awake. Why? And realize it. Put on Christ. Why? Because everybody wants the Lord to do everything for them, and He's not going to do it for you.
Right.
You've got to make an effort to put Him on as you go through hard things in life. Why? Because life is hard.
Amen.
Life is, things happen in life, but that God told you it was going to happen. He says this, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now look, your soul gets saved, but also one of these days your body, the salvation of your body is that He's going to give you a new body. He had talked about in Romans 8. All right, He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, within reach. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. He had to tell them that. Why? Because if there was a conscious effort that they had to make to cast it off, why? Saved people can walk in darkness. People say, well, I can't believe so-and-so did that. They must not be saved. Yeah, and you overeat every meal you have, and you make out like you're better than they do. It just makes me... I heard a guy say one time, he says, so-and-so can't be full of the Holy Spirit. He says, somebody full of unholy smoke can't be full of the Holy Ghost. And you went down there and filled up your plate four times the other day, and I could say the same thing of you. See how people do? You make out like you're better than everybody else because you're not doing what they're doing. Guess what? They're probably not doing some things that you're doing.
That's right.
It's never your business to judge your neighbor.
That's right.
What I'm saying is each one of us have got some things that we do that you know ain't right. And God's just as good to them as He is to you, and He's just as merciful to you are as He is to them. Thank God for it. Well, I need God's mercy too. Somebody say, well, so-and-so, you know, I know so-and-so dips. Yeah, and you probably get behind the wheel of your car and drive 90 miles an hour where you go to. Don't make out like you're better than them just because you don't do that.
That's right.
He probably safer driver than you are. You see how people do? What I'm saying is they're not thinking. All right, he said, let us cast off works of darkness and let us put on, watch this, the armor of light. It's, the whole armor is called the armor of light, walking in light. It's not praying on this little armor. He's saying, if you want the armor on, walk in the light. Why? Because Jesus, if you're going to have to put on the new man, the new man's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you will do what He says in His Bible, that puts that armor on and it protects you from the things of this world. Protects you from the mind. Renewed spirit of your mind. Well, you know what happened? This world has got a course its own and their mindset is not correct. That's why they're going off in the craziest thought patterns you've ever seen in your life when they're so confused they don't know whether they're boys or girls anymore.
That's right.
What's that? They're not walking in the light anymore. And you know what happened? They're susceptible to deception.
That's right.
Amen. That's all that is. Y'all, we're not lambasting anybody. I'd like to see people get saved. I really do. But at the same time, the only way to see people think correctly is to tell them what the Bible says about walking in light. Why? That armor will protect you. The helmet of salvation. He's talking to saved people. What's that? Salvation in your daily life. That salvation in your testimony. Paul said, this shall turn to my salvation. He was already saved, but he's saying, I want to have a good testimony around these people I'm about to go witness to. That armor will protect you and help you to have that. Walking in the light puts on that armor. You say, what can I do to put on the armor of God? Walk in the light as He is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another. And the Lord Jesus Christ protects you from the mindset. He goes on to tell you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh battle. That means the Christian is not to go out here and be violent in this world like this old crazy world's doing. It's your business to have a spiritual outlook on things and say, I want to figure out how I can pray for these people. I want to figure out how I can be good to these people. I want to figure out how somebody can get some help by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You got martyrs that went to jail before, and here's people who hate them, hate Christianity, and they get in that jail, and guess what they do? They witness, and before long, after it may take years, before long that person trusts Christ, and you know what they say? Man, thank the Lord that you even got in this prison. What? Thank the Lord they got in prison. Man, I would have never known Christ had you not come. Would you yield to the Lord so much so that, hey, wherever if He feels like putting you in a hospital bed so you'll witness to somebody, can you praise God in all things? It didn't say, we talked about last time, He didn't say for those things. Thank God I'm sick. No, thank God in all things. I'm glad I'm here. I may be able to witness to somebody.
That's right.
See, you get this thing, it's a mental battle and it's spiritual. And if you don't put on that armor, the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to tell you you're going through all this stuff. Well, God don't care about you. Well, maybe He knows you could go through it and somebody else couldn't. Maybe He knows because of that, you may have never been able to witness to that family member had something bad not happened and you'd be able to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I hate that it's like that, but I'm going to tell you something. This world is just set up like this. Some people will not listen to you unless they know that you went through something that you're able to be able to minister through their heart. Y'all, there's some of y'all can minister to people. There's no way I could ever minister to them. And you know why? Because I hadn't been through the same thing you have.
That's right.
But whenever you talk to them, you can go and you minister to them because they know they can identify with what you went through.
That's right.
And people treat you bad. Some of y'all have had people treat you really bad. I mean real bad. But you know what? Somebody else who've had that same similar treatment, you can witness to them and you can say, I know what that feels like. And you know what? God helped me through it. Here's the way God helped me through it. So I didn't lose my mind going through that thing.
Amen.
Renewed in the spirit of your mind, you have to put on that armor, that helmet of salvation, things like that. Watch what he says. Watch the practical application, just like over in Ephesians, that has to do with the armor. Let us. God's not going to force you. The Spirit leads you. He doesn't force you.
That's right.
It says, walk honestly. Don't be a liar. Don't make out like you're more spiritual than you really are.
That's right.
Some of us are at different places in life. You don't have to say amen, brother, on everything.
That's right.
Just be who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. See, people say, well, I don't get drunk. What about strife and envy? You want to argue about every little thing that comes up. I'm not going to argue with you. We talked about the Bible earlier. I'm not going to argue. Why? Because if you want to argue about it, if the Lord can't convince you, I can't.
That's right.
I'll just tell you what the Bible says and go on about my business. Why? Because, look, that's up to God.
Yes.
I'm fixing to try to help somebody who will listen. So if you want to argue, I'm not going to strife with you. All right? Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So, you're going to put on the Lord? But he's saying, don't put yourself in a position where the flesh can feed. Why? Because if you don't make sure that you put on the Lord, you'll put yourself in a position there. And you know what happened? The flesh is exposed, and you don't have the armor on. And here you are spiritually. You know, you look as strong as you can be on the outside. But inside, you are just as weak and frail as you can be without the armor on. It's not something that you can see. I go right back to David and Goliath, and y'all know that popular story. Here comes the enemies of Israel, and they got their champion standing up there, and here's Goliath. This man's around 9'6" tall, and he's standing up there, man, and he has his armor on and all this stuff, and he's blaspheming the name of the Lord. And here comes young David. He comes up there and says, who's this Philistine up here talking about our Lord? I'll just go down there and whip him for you. Well, here's Saul. Well, if you look at the heights between Saul and Abner, Saul was around 7 feet tall. The Bible says he was a head higher than anybody else in Israel. So if let's just say that if everybody's around 6 foot and he was a head higher, he was probably around 7 foot tall at the least. He was a big man. He should have went down there and fought that giant. But Saul says, oh, I got some armor you can put on. I bet it's the best armor around. Don't think it wasn't good armor. And David said, I hadn't proved this yet. You know, everybody else wants you to always go in what the way they won't tell you what to do. Let me tell you how to handle a situation. I know exactly what you don't know. Come here from sickle.
That's right.
Wow, that's not your field of expertise.
That's right.
And David walks down there. You know what he does? He takes those 5 smooth stones. And one of those stones sinks it right in the head of Goliath with that sling. You know what? He didn't make provision for the flesh. The flesh says, protect yourself, Paul. Protect yourself with this worldly, earthly means. Protect yourself by this and that and other thing. And you got all the insurance in the world, and you got all your bills paid, and you got money laid up and all this stuff. And the Lord said, yeah, this night thy soul shall be required.
That's exactly right.
You think you got it all figured out, do you? You don't.
That's right.
You don't know. You think you've watched all the YouTube videos and you know all the conspiracies. You know exactly when America's going to collapse. You know exactly when the dollar's going to collapse. And you know all that stuff, don't you? No, you don't. They've been predicting all this stuff. You know, they said the world was going to end in September 2021. Never did end. Mm-hmm. They're saying right now this September could be the end. They don't know why. Here comes September. We're all still here. Why? You know why? Because they don't know anything.
Right.
You can't predict it. Only God knows.
That's it.
So watch all you want to and go in all the strength of this world that the world has to offer. And you know what you'll do? You'll come up empty and you'll come up short.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to do like David. David had something on spiritually speaking. He knew God could protect him.
That's right.
You know what you're going to realize spiritually speaking? You're going to realize there's something beyond you. There's a power beyond you.
Amen.
That can protect you when this world can't.
Amen.
Because if you don't, there's going to be coming things down the pike. The Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's going to be more science come down the pike, and there's going to be more just knowledge come down through. Why? The Bible says, knowledge shall be increased, and there's going to be men who come up so smart, and they got all these ideas, and you can do all this stuff, and guess what? Your life can be prolonged. And if you eat these leafy greens right here and you do all this stuff, you know, you can, and you get your diet better and you do all this stuff, yeah, you may live to 100. Big deal in the light of eternity. That's no good.
Yeah.
You know, it boils down to this right here. Everybody in this room, the Bible says it's appointed to a man once to die.
That's right.
You can talk tough all you want to right now. You wait till you're in that hospital bed. You wait till you're laying there and you can't move and you can't go anywhere. Guess who you're going to call on, just like everybody else does. I've seen them do it time and time. I've seen them be tough, and I've seen them talk about how all that Bible's false. And I've said, well, I'm not going to church, and I don't believe what they say, and that pastor and all this type of stuff, and the Baptist church believed it, and the Methodist church believed this other thing, the Church of Christ. God never told you to be a part of a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Church of Christ, and all this type of stuff. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, believe the gospel, and you're going to be reckoned with the gospel, not what church church you went to.
Amen.
You got all these, you get on that hospital bed one of these days, and guess what? You're going to be wanting somebody to pray with you. I've seen a few hard-hearted ones, but guess what? It's coming for every single one of us. I don't know the day, but one day you're going to be laying there helpless, and one day, guess who you're going to need? You're going to need God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And this world's trying to get you to think in a deceptive way that there's some kind of way you can beat it, some kind of way you can cheat it, and some kind of way you can get out of this stuff. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible said, having done all to stand, you can stand in the evil day. You know what? Your day is coming. Every one of us, our day is going to come when you're going to need the Lord. And you know what the temptation is going to be? Not to stand. To fall back and to, well, I'll go back on my own wisdom, or, you know, mom and daddy told me this and so. Don't do that. Every one of us need the Lord God. And if you don't rely on Him and His armor, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your strength in your loins. You know what? You take all this stuff. I don't know how much time I got. What time is it? You take all this stuff I saw over in Daniel. Here's a king. What time is it? I got plenty of time. It's 12 o'clock. Well, y'all stay though. Y'all will stay till 1. But I'll tell you this. Here's a king over here. And Daniel, if I didn't get to my first point, you get over here in Daniel chapter number 5. See, I just ain't too good to preach. I'm glad y'all put up with me. You get over here, and you know, here's a king, Belshazzar. He thinks he got it all figured out, don't he? Everything's wonderful. He got all his bills paid. Man, he's had this big old party and all these things. And you know what happens? Here comes Daniel, gets up there to him, and he's able to read the writing on the wall. And the Bible says that his loins smote together. He was so scared, his legs were shaking. Well, right before all that happened, he had it all figured out, didn't he? His day came. You know why he fainted in the day of adversity? Because he didn't have the armor of light on.
That's right.
And here's Daniel. He wasn't scared of nothing, man. Daniel comes up there. He don't have to be scared of the writing. He said, "Many, many tickle you farsen." He said, "You've been weighed and found wanting." You know what? Every one of us have been weighed in the balance, and you know what you're wanting. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation.
Amen.
People talk about these scales, you know. They say, well, you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to get up there, and God's going to weigh your good out on one side. He's going to weigh your bad out on one side. And if you're bad, you know, don't weigh as much as the good. You know, it's not like that. You know what it is? I have personally been weighed and found wanting, and I cannot pay my sin debt. But you know what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation, Amen. Got on that scale, and I was weighed and found wanting, and the scale was over here, and all of a sudden the Lord Jesus Christ gets on that scale, and boom!
Amen,
the Lord's able to say, go free.
Yeah.
You know what you can do today, this morning? You can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation of your soul, and you can go free. And guess what else you can do? Once you get saved, you can, no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way when I walk out those doors, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I'm trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because I've told you before, you're going to get out there, and maybe you're trying to live for the Lord. And guess what happened? Maybe some bad things happened to you. Well, trust God in the bad just like you do in the good.
That's right. Amen.
Some people you don't like and some people you know don't believe right and stuff like that. And guess what? Good things are going to happen to them. Be proud for them. Be happy for them.
Yeah.
Well, because you don't rejoice when your enemy stumbles.
That's right.
They're going to bed happy, and you're the one laying in the bed can't sleep.
That's right.
You know what you're going to have to do? Get to the place where you got the peace of God in your heart, and you walk in the light and put on that armor to protect you mentally and spiritually speaking, so you don't get out here and lose your mind.
That's right.
Now, I've seen Christian, and I can't read your mind, but I know this right here. Every one of you got something on your mind. Things bother you. Things go on. I wonder if that's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? One of these days, we're going to die and you're going to meet God.
Amen.
That's the main thing. If you're saved, be getting prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I've told you before, whenever you get saved, your sin was dealt with on Calvary. But guess what? The Bible tells you your works can be burned up. They can be gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is like flesh. It'll burn. It's surface. Gold, silver, and precious stone is underneath the surface. You know what we can do? We can walk out of here and say, Lord, I want something when I get there.
Amen.
To be to the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for anything of ourselves. We just want the Lord to know, hey, Lord, I wanted to live for you. I wanted to serve you because I love you, not because I was expecting anything. Trying to close out. Brother Thomas said I can preach 30 minutes over today. You think of this right here. Y'all ever been to a birthday party? And they say, don't bring nothing. It's no big deal. Don't even bring no present or anything. get up there at that birthday party, and boy, you get out of your car and you're mad. You get up there and you look on the table and everybody got birthday gifts out there. You walk up. Well, nobody, they tell you, you don't have to. But everybody else brought a gift and you don't have a gift. Kind of bothers you, don't it?
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ saves you. When He saves you, He gives you the choice to serve Him. It's up to you. He's not going to make you.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be nice when you got up there to be able to say of my own free will, Lord, I served you because I loved you.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, I it was a joy, Lord, to be able to read your Bible. It was a joy to be able to treat my spouse good. It was a joy to be able to be a good friend. It was a joy, Lord, to do anything I could do for you because I wanted to, not because I had to.
That's right.
And I tell you something, you get up there, won't that be a blessing to be able to see your Savior face to face, the one that saved you?
Amen.
Y'all, one of these days, we're going to be there. This life is going by just, we say, man, I wish today. Oh, I tell you something, it could be today. That's like, you know, talking about how fast time goes by fast. You look at that little baby right there, and it wasn't long ago we were saying, won't it be wonderful when she gets here? She's already been here a year. You know what, every one of you,
that's
just
right.
Time just going, time just going, time just going.
Amen.
Are you ready to see the Lord?
Right.
It could be today.
Right.
And the thing is, in the meantime, what are you going to do with what He's giving you?
That's right, brother.
I'm learning myself, and I've got a lot to learn. I'll tell you this, I've got a lot to learn. I'm learning to enjoy each and every breath that I give the Lord.
Amen.
Because it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Amen.
I hope when you go out of here, you say, you know what, we'll go into some of this other stuff about the armor, but if I can't do anything else, there may be things that I don't understand about it, but Lord, I want to walk in the light, and I want to have fellowship with you like I've never had before. Why? That's your protection, is your fellowship and your walk with the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to be filled with you. In that, I want you to control my thoughts. I want you to control the way I behave myself around everyone else. Why? So that, like you've heard it preached time and time again, they can see the Lord Jesus Christ in you. But you know what that does? That puts the focus on Him and not you.
That's right.
And that's what this world don't want. Everybody wants accolades. Everybody wants attention. You know, look at me go. And the Lord said, don't be like that. Point them toward me. Point them toward the Savior.
Amen.
You know what that'll do? That'll help protect you mentally, because we're all going to need it. We're all going to need it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, please take something that was said.